Hello, everybody, and welcome back to On a Side Note. I'm Haley.
And I'm Amy. And Happy New Year!
Happy New Year 2025.
Yes. Cheers!
Cheers to the first book that we are reviewing in 2025. Can you guys guess what it is? Drum roll!
Two Twisted Crowns by Rachel Gillig. Remember, we had originally read One Dark Window last month. We liked it so much that we decided to read the sequel and review it. And Haley, do you think this is the first sequel that we've reviewed? I'm trying to think.
I mean, minus Iron Flame.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So, no. But actually, did we review that one? I know. I keep forgetting if we actually did or not.
Yeah, I can't remember if we reviewed Fourth Wing, but I know we reviewed Iron Flame.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, that's the sequel that we've reviewed.
Yes. So I was excited. But first sequel of the new year.
Should we start with our rating?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Three stars.
Perfect.
We're on track.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, I'm kind of surprised that you gave it 3 stars. And while I was reading it, I was worried that you really liked it because it's told from, like, Elm's perspective for a good portion of the book. And so, in our last review, you said you really liked Elm as a character. So, I thought you would really like it because you get his side of things now.
Well, to start off, to our listeners out there, all our book reviews are filled with spoilers. So, if you haven't read the book, it's time to stop now. And to answer your question. So, yes, I did love Elm in the first book. But I think I liked him more as a side character. Like, I liked his role supporting Elsbeth and being, like, a brother figure to Raven. But I think that once we got his point of view and he became more of a main character, I was less interested.
This is why we don't read sequels. I hate it when a side character becomes, like, the main character. Like, I like the side character, but I don't like them as a main character. And I wonder what that says about us. Because there are people who, like reading about the main character, the side character as a main character.
They love it.
But I don't understand that. I can't grasp it because I'm so attached to the initial characters. Like, I don't want them
to be side characters. Yeah. That's what I'm totally with you. Because now a lot of the romance book series and all of that, the books themselves are standalones and the other books are interconnected where they had originally introduced many side characters in the original book just so then they can have their own spin-off, right? And that's why I don't read the other books, because I am with you. I am so invested in the original main characters. The guy, the girl, and that is all I want. To the author, you made me love these characters. So same thing. I loved Elsbeth. I loved Raven. I loved their dynamic. And I liked Elm as a side character.
Yeah. I would agree with that romance series thing. And it's genuinely, it does, sometimes I'll find myself reading the third book, for example, because they're standalones and, like, that's just the one that's popped up on, like, my recommended. And so that's the one I read not knowing it's, like, an interconnected series. But it's not like I can go back and read the first one. Like, the third one is now my couple. They are the couple. And all the other, yeah, and I'm just like, if enough time goes by, can you read a different couple? Like, if I don't know, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for example, in Abby Jimenez's, like, world, I don't actually consider those connected at all because, like, I can't remember. So I just remember when I read Just for the Summer and somebody commented saying, like, oh, yeah, that's a character from, like, one of her other books. And, like, I've read that book. Did I associate those characters together? Like, no.
So that was okay.
Yeah. So I think that's a good way of doing it. Like, it can't be in, like, the same place. Like, that's too much of a problem is that, like, if they're in college and they have friend groups and then the next book is, like, them in college as well. Like, it's too much of a similar scenario that nothing's really different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you create, like, a totally different story, then that's okay. Right?
Yeah. And I'm totally with you on that. And so, a question back for you is that when we were reviewing One Dark Window, you were really curious about her cousin. I totally forgot her name.
Yeah, Ione.
Ione's, like, story. That was what wanted you.
Yes.
To go and read.
Yes. Because, no offense, I was digging pretty much everybody's perspective except for Elm's. I, like, literally did not care. And so I feel bad, but it was, like, I did like finding out what was happening. But then it did kind of get to a point where I was, like, okay, I'm done with that now. I didn't really care about their romance that much. Mm-hmm. But did you really feel it?
I didn't get butterflies like I did when I was reading Raven and Elspeth originally in the first book. But I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. So I just accepted it. And I said, okay, I guess this is going on, and I will move on. It's not like I was really rooting for them or anything. I'm like, oh, this is just part of the book. Yeah. What's the plot? Let's keep going.
That's true, I did. And I don't know if it's because Elm, in my head, is kind of, like, maybe still in his side character role, that, mm-hmm. like, in those scenes, it just, like, doesn't have the same oomph. It's like I'm watching it from, like, totally a third perspective instead of normally. I feel like I'm there. But this time I was, like... like, just watching it.
And so, in the first book, we got a lot of Elspeth's, like, point of view. You have to remind me, did they jump into Raven's point of view? Or was it completely Elspeth? Because now I'm thinking about it, like, maybe it was completely a one point of view.
I feel like we got Raven's perspective in, like, that scene when he's, like, standing outside the door. Is that crazy?
The only scene I remember is the end, where he was like, oh no! Elspeth, where are you?
So now I'm not sure.
Because I was thinking maybe that's why I didn't like, not that I didn't like, but I didn't have the same passion for the second book that I did with the first book, where I was just so used to being in Elspeth's head, like the tone, the voice of that book, that being in different people's heads in the second book was too much. Possibly it affected my reading experience.
That's true. I remember telling you when I first started reading it that, like, there's too many perspectives going on. Like, four is too many. One Dark Window is single POV.
Oh, okay then. Yeah.
I mean, am I happy that it wasn't in Elm's perspective? Like, yes. I'm not sure I would have gotten through it. Even already, like, I was like, every time I saw Elm, I was like, oh my god. As much as he was doing things, I feel like everybody else was, like, doing more things. Like, every time he's waiting for Ione.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we have to go search for it with her, instead of, like, she's kind of doing stuff on her own.
Mm-hmm. And Raven's out there swimming in lakes, and, yeah, like, Elspeth's trying to, like, find herself in a dark ocean.
I did really like Elspeth and the nightmare's perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, together they seem like friends. I liked that. So I guess I'm with you that I am connected to Elspeth because of the first book. That I was interested more in the second book. Like, every time I was like, great, we're here. But it's funny when at first, because we read it a little bit after the first book, I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, Haley, just relax. It will all make sense as you continue reading, because it's just, like, just from the nightmare's perspective. And then I was like, what happened?
What's going on? Yeah.
So it took me a second.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I probably wasn't into it. Well, I wasn't ever really into the book, to be honest with you.
Well, that's sad.
I know. But it definitely didn't pick up until the middle of the book for me.
Yeah. I do feel like the first quarter, as much as it was like, oh, I'm reading to try and figure out what happened, it wasn't horrible. Like, I wasn't struggling too hard to get through it, so that's good. Again, with the whole margin thing and font being big, it really helps you get through the book. I was thinking that while I was reading, that I was like, if this was Iron Flame, if the font and the book size was similar, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad. But genuinely, sorry, I'm getting off track, but, like, why do you have to make the book so big? Yeah. There is a thing called editing. No offense, but books should not be that big as I'm saying this to my friend who reads Brandon Sanderson, who also writes, like, really big books.
Who's also currently reading a really big book. I'm reading Priory of the Orange Tree.
Oh.
And it is so thick, but looking at it, I thought it was the size of Brandon Sanderson, so about, like, 1,000 pages. But when you open it, the margins are, like, 2 inches.
Oh, sweet.
So it's only, like, a quarter. If you really measure it out, it's very a small portion of the page.
Okay.
Which makes it a better experience for that.
Yeah, I would agree. Margins are the number one thing that I think should be large.
And spacing
between words. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, all like, so font size is not really that relevant. Because I have gotten a large print book. And I kind of hated it because you feel like you're reading a children's book.
Yeah.
But I would argue that if the margins were bigger, because the margins are pretty small to, like, fit the bigger font mm-hmm. size. So I feel like if the margins were maybe a different size, it would help that. So for me, I think margins is my number one thing.
Uh-huh. All authors must take note to hook in those readers. Big margins.
It's just, like, enticing. But maybe that's, like, a waste of paper.
Yeah.
But they also make it a 600-page book.
I know.
So, maybe not.
Yeah. But anyways, I think to wrap that segment of the podcast up that we were talking about, where maybe a lot of people really enjoyed this second book because they are with the majority who enjoy those sequels with side characters being main characters.
Yeah. I mean, I would say 4 POVs is much better than just having the 2 of Elm and Ione.
Mm-hmm.
That I did need that the main characters to, like, be more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder for everybody else if they were more invested mm-hmm. in the 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why are there 4? I wonder from an author's perspective how she kind of came upon, like, yeah, I'm going to give Elm and Ione their own perspectives instead of just... I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? Because you have the people at the castle and then you have the people out on the quest.
Mm-hmm.
But then in that case, you could have done, like, Raven and Elm.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I do think that was the best choice, right, to have 4.
Yeah.
So that's true. I do think that is probably why people were like, oh my god, this sequel's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I remember you telling me that people said that the sequel was better than the first
mm-hmm.
book. And we are not in agreement.
We are not those people.
But the sequel wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't 2 stars.
Would you say that it did kind of break the sequel curse? Or no? Because you said you weren't really in it ever.
Maybe it just wasn't the right book for me.
Okay.
For a sequel.
Because I also kind of had a hard time visualizing...
Mm-hmm.
where we were at.
Yeah.
And especially because you kind of go back into the nightmares past a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also having a hard time connecting all of these, like, people that he's talking about who are, mm-hmm. like, dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of what happened there was, like, kind of confusing.
Yeah. There was a lot of backstory and then puzzle, like, people talking in riddles. And so, I felt like that was a lot. As someone who doesn't really want to think too much while I'm reading, I think, like, that was one of the main things. And so, I think the sequel on paper for me is, like, yeah, that's a good book. To come back and make the sequel more interesting, adding the 4 POVs, you're kind of, like, not really replicating the recipe, quote-unquote, of, like, the first book. You're trying to, like, amp it up in the second book and really give the readers a better understanding of Nightmare. So I think, like, the author did good. I think it wasn't for me.
I do like how they, like, wrapped it up.
Mm-hmm. Made you feel good.
Yeah, I think 2 books is good. Like, at the beginning, you kind of have the problem of gathering the cards, mm-hmm. and then in the second book you have them solving how to clear the mist. So I think those plot points are good things for the books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad it didn't just, like, keep dragging on into, like, I was kind of interested because maybe I totally blocked it out, but in the first book, they don't really refer to it as a dark window, whereas in the second book, when Elsbeth was in the nightmare's mind, or, like, her own mind, she kept talking about how she was, like, looking out of a dark window, and it's, like, one dark window, and so I was like, oh my gosh, that makes sense. But I don't remember them ever talking about it in the first book and calling it like that, so yeah. I liked that now it makes sense.
Yeah. You have to read the second book.
Yeah.
To really reap the benefits.
Yeah, because then I was like, that makes sense, because she had the nightmare in her mind in the first book, mm-hmm. and he was, like, looking through one dark window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent observation.
It's funny, because in my notes, the last sentence I wrote is, I actually hate Elm's POV the most.
Poor Elm, what did he do to you?
Because it's funny, at the very beginning, I wrote, Elm was your favorite, was it nice to get his POV? And the very last sentence.
Okay, so wait, break it down. Why do you think you hate Elm's POV? Like,
but I said the most.
The most.
Like, not out of the four.
Oh, out of the four.
Yeah, not say like, oh my god, it was the worst one I've ever read. Yeah. Just how I was like I said every you're single bored, time, yeah. I was like,
ugh. Yeah, like, you're not doing anything.
I just think, as much as it's like, they were trying to get more of Elm's backstory, and I'm like, okay, I like him as a character. I like him as a side character.
He was funny as a side character.
Yeah.
Why did, like, comedic one? Relief?
Yeah, he was more, like, sadder. You know, and I was, because I remember in our first review, I was telling you about how I was kind of upset because they don't really talk about the fact that the Scythe card, like, mm-hmm. hurts you. Mm-hmm. But they kind of address it more in the second book that, like, the king and that whole family line of, like, the Rowans mm-hmm. hurt their sons so that they can use a Scythe card without actually feeling more of the mm-hmm. pain. So I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense in terms of, like, why I was upset with it in the first book. Mm-hmm. But now they got to it. So I was like, okay.
You're like, that's enough. Got it.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Where she, I do feel like she was, like, kind of wrapping up the questions that I had. Mm-hmm. And I do think maybe if we read it right after the first one, maybe mm-hmm. we would like it more. Mm-hmm. Because, like we said, the first quarter was trying to figure out
what was going on.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, did I read this? I had to, like, really think back at the first book. I was struggling.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that Hout? How do you pronounce his name?
The brother, right?
Yeah. I forgot he was, like, injured.
Oh, yeah.
But also, it was sad that, like, he pushed Ione off the balcony.
Yeah.
And that's how she found out she couldn't die.
That was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary when he came back.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that already as someone who, like, predicts things?
Well, so I wrote it down that when he saw her in the room, he knew that the maiden card revives.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew they were gonna revive him and he was gonna be okay.
Dang.
Because I was like, why would he be so shocked? And then when she got to the point of, like, oh, well, he pushed her off the balcony, I was like, now it makes sense.
Pretty powerful card there.
Very powerful. So, the more we talk,
you're like, dang, that was a pretty good book.
I do like that my questions were wrapped up nicely and that the answers were made clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of a literary work.
Yes. On paper.
Yeah, like you said, is good.
Gold. Yeah. It's personal, you know, personal preference.
Would you buy the first book? Would you still rate the first book 5 stars?
It might drop, which is funny because we had this conversation where a lot of the times I read something and I rate it immediately. 5 stars, bam! And then it just sits for a couple weeks. And then I'm just like, maybe it wasn't 5 stars now that I think about it. I just remember having such a good time reading it on the plane.
Oh, that's good though.
I know. But then, after, like, reading this book, not that it was so bad, but then it kind of levels things out.
Yeah.
It was like, was the first book 5 stars? If I read this one, 3 stars, you know? So, possibly. I actually do not think I would buy the first book. Would you buy the first book?
No, but I didn't rate it 5 stars.
I know. It's under my list of 5 stars, and then the category, would I buy it? And I put no. But understand, you would reread all your five stars.
Yeah. I mean, I would potentially reread this one. Like, I mean, not this one, the first one, mm-hmm. since it was, like, four stars. But yeah, I think I was telling you that I saw that TikTok video about this girl that was kind of ragging on people who don't give a lot of five stars. And then that somebody responded to that video saying that people who give a lot of five stars, like, don't have a good rating system. And I would agree with that. Because at first I felt bad that, like, oh my gosh, she's right. I don't. But I have a very clear rating system, in my opinion. It's very, like, as much as I, like, I'm not really sure, but I know because I feel it in my heart. Right? Like you said, five star, I would buy and reread. Four stars is, like, I would reread if I was desperate. Yeah. Or just, like, you know, in a reading slump and you're, like, don't know what to read, but you like to read. So, yeah. Like, I read. And then three stars is, like, okay. That was a book. And then two stars was did not finish. So, like, I think that's very clear.
Do you know how many five-star books you rated in 2024?
Very little, if I'm going to be honest. And I do feel like...
As in, like... five-star books.
Maybe, because I know I talked to you about, like, three of them, and you said you didn't like one of, at least one of them. And I said, well, you should have read it on an airplane.
Oh, yeah, I think you did say that.
Let's see.
I know, 7 Year Slip, you rated 5 stars. So that's one.
I don't even have that one on my list.
Excellent. I just added it for you.
Wait, I would have read that in, like... Oh, my God. See, that's what I'm saying. Is that there's a lot of books I didn't add on my list. Because... So, I was trying out... Okay, for context, Amy this year tried an Excel spreadsheet to track all of her books, and so I was saying that we should do a podcast episode reviewing and, like, looking at all the categories and stuff of her 2024 reads, because I think that would be interesting, and especially because she was doing it to see, so I think that would be fun. So I had also tried to do an Excel sheet for my books, and I was just telling her that I hate it. And I'm like, this goes to show that I didn't like it because I didn't put all of my books on here. See, like, I have these gaps that I was supposed to, like, fill in my books. And I just... So, the fact that 7 Year Slip isn't on here, I'm so confused. Anyways, so that actually makes me sad when I think about the books that I've read that I didn't put on the sheet. How will I track it? Not that it matters, but, like...
I'm sorry.
I'm That'd be sad, so too. Sad. I don't know how that happened.
Well, no, you did say it's difficult to use sheets on your phone. And I'm always, like, I mentioned it to you earlier that I always go on my laptop to put it in. So maybe, like, that barrier to, like, put it in because you're like, oh, I need to go to open my laptop to do it.
Yeah.
And so, then you forget.
So maybe you're right, and I'll just stick to my, so, like, I used to put the books mm-hmm. in my notes app, and then I would go in and put it in Goodreads later. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll just do a similar thing that I'll put it in my notes app, and then maybe if I want to do the Excel sheet, I'll just put in my Excel, like, mm-hmm. later. So yeah, I started my January books
nice
on my notes app because I hated the Excel. But you're right, so maybe computer only. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to write it once I finish it, because otherwise I'll forget that I, like, finished that book.
Once I finish a book, I get so excited to go on my laptop. I'm like, it needs to be checked off or else I don't feel complete.
I guess that's right. Anyway, so I only have one 5-star on here. Oh, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't even remember reading this book.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I kind of do.
Are these going to be shared in our 2024 recap? This is just a teaser?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, excellent. Because I'm actually really interested.
But now I'm sad that I didn't... Because I didn't put... the one I have that's like... I've told you mm-hmm. was This Spells Love, mm-hmm. which you didn't like.
I didn't.
But that one is the one I have here, 5 stars. So the other ones I told you, 7 Year Slip, and then that other one, mm-hmm. I don't have on my list. Mm. Which those are, like, the ones you want on your list, so that I know that these ones I really like, so that I'll reread them when I'm in my book slump. But now I don't have them recorded.
It's okay.
Dang.
You can add them now. Well, not when you get home on your laptop.
Wait, what was that one called? Love of My Afterlife. Yeah. Sorry.
Anyways, to wrap up this episode.
Yes.
We'll wrap it up with the song of 2025.
I am going to do a recommendation because if you're on TikTok, you might know, but Epic the Musical, they've been using like their sounds. So I can't pick one specific song off of it, but it's so good. But only probably if you like musicals. So that's my recommendation because I want to listen back to this episode like later in life and I'll remember Epic the Musical because right now this is my new fixation. Mm. And I'm like obsessed.
Anyways, you seen Wicked?
The movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember we were talking about it?
I completely forgot.
That's okay. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay.
That was probably the same conversation, right?
Yeah, because we were talking something about a bubble. And I said, oh, well, have you seen Wicked? And you said no. And I was like, oh, okay.
Did I respond with, have you seen the movie? Why? Have you seen the musical?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyways. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For your recommendation.
But it's okay. Because you're not really a musical person, are you? Mm-mm. Okay, so that's irrelevant to you.
But we have musical listeners out there.
Yeah. I'll give you guys a little... Because it's about the Odyssey, you know, so like Odysseus and mm-hmm. his journey, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's what it is, and it's like this guy made it all himself, so like just a regular person, mm-hmm. and he like got people off of TikTok to like audition for it and stuff, so like it's very much like they made it as a community together. Not that like, he made it in his like backyard or something. Like, I'm pretty sure they recorded it in a studio and stuff like that. But like, he is just a person who like had this concept for it and got these like people off of TikTok. And like, he released it in 8 separate parts. So it's like this 2-year long project in terms of like release date. Obviously, I'm sure he was working on it beforehand. So like maybe 5-year project and stuff. And so that's also kind of endearing.
I like this backstory.
Okay, I'm ready. Sorry, I get really into things sometimes.
That's good. Wasn't there a thing that said, probably a TikTok video, where people said, don't apologize for the things that you're really, really into.
Okay.
Or if you want to just go on a rant or any kind of just aww. Like sharing about the things that you love, never apologize.
You know how the stereotype is that musical theaters are kids are like huge nerds and stuff, but I'm like, they get so passionate about it, and maybe I just feel that way because I'm a musical theater nerd. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, when you know my brother for example gets really passionate about like Magic the card game, and I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, damn, that's how people feel. So that's a good mentality. I shouldn't apologize. I saw this TikTok that said, I'm finally becoming myself again. And in parentheses, it said, like, I just found something to hyperfixate on. And I was like, that's relatable. You know, you feel your happiest when you just, like, recently found something and you're like all up in it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I feel right now.
I love it.
Okay, I'm ready. Sorry.
Stop it. I was laughing. No. All right, my song recommendation is Fall Into Me by Forest Black, or Blake, B-L-A-K-K.
Mm-hmm. I will listen to that.
Because most recently I've been listening to a lot of his songs because I liked one and then Spotify started adding it to my Discover Weekly. So I hope you like it.
I'm sure I will. I'm excited.
All right. Well, that wraps up our first episode of this year. Happy New Year. And we are excited for all our episodes to come.
Yes. Have a great 2025.
Yay!